This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Did it define the kind of friend that I was? Did it define the mother that I was, the wife that I was, the partner that I was, the caring person? Did it define how good I was at my career? No, it didn't. It didn't have an effect on any of those things. So why was I so obsessed with it?
Welcome to Honesty Box, where we find the answers to the questions you thought were off limits. Hello, and welcome to the Honesty Box at the Balance Club, where we ask the questions you want the answers to. No judgment and no topic is off limits. If you'd like to submit your own questions, you can do so anonymously at www.thebalance.club. Just click on the podcast option and a question box will pop out for you. Each week here on Honesty Box, we will take one of your questions and pose it to an expert. This week, we're talking about our relationship with our bodies after having kids. Now, as a mum of two, I've watched my body stretch and change in ways I didn't know was possible. Then after giving birth, I've seen it change again, and not always in ways I would have hoped. But learning to accept my body has always been a struggle for me, and one that was actually made easier in motherhood. On the podcast this week to discuss this further is Jess Jones. You may know her on Instagram as The Fat Funny One. She uses her role as a blogger, podcaster and mental health activist to help motivate and inspire other women. She's a mum of three and she talks candidly about her personal journey of self-discovery and acceptance, battling mental health challenges, body confidence and building a life she says she's excited to wake up to. Welcome Jess to Honesty Box. The question we're pulling out of the box this week is, how do you stop hating your post-children body? Now, I should just say straight out of the box, Jess, that neither you or I are medical professionals. We're just two women speaking about our own experience of postpartum bodies and how we feel about them. Jess, I consider you to be, and maybe I've read this wrong, a very confident person in your own skin.
Yeah, like, let it all hang out. that's kind of my motto with life. But I've not always been that way. But I am definitely that way now.
When you say you haven't always been that way, at what point weren't you?
For all of my life until the last few years. I think I just succumbed to the social pressure of looking a certain way. I was very, very, very much in diet culture. Was on, there's not a diet I haven't done. And I just wanted to be smaller. I wanted to be smaller because if you were smaller, you were more confident. If you're more confident, you got the job, you got the man, you got everything. And then I just realized that actually that really wasn't the case at all. And so I just started to really accept the fact that this is me, this is my body. Now I'm three children on. But it was definitely after the birth of my first daughter that I really actually decided that I was going to just embrace who I was as I was.
And so was that something that you came to the moment you had your child, or was that something that you had to learn?
No, I definitely had to learn it. Oh my gosh, like straight after I was like, where is this snapback? I want to look how I looked before. And I did all that thing, you know, when you look at pictures and go, I thought I was fat then. What was I thinking? And I did all of that. And I went on a really horrendous shake diet after she was born, lost loads of weight, and then was completely validated by everyone saying to me, you look amazing. Can't believe you just had a baby. I was like, yeah, like living my best life. But I was dying inside. I felt horrendous. I was so self-conscious. I wasn't as confident as I was probably perceived to be. And I needed to do something about it. And when she was about three, she stood on the scales in our bathroom and said, Mummy, Mummy. And she like got her belly out. And she said, oh, Mummy, I'm fat. And I was like, oh my gosh, she is literally absorbing everything I'm doing and watching me, and I cannot do this anymore, not just for me, but actually for her. Because I say this all the time, but children will do as you do, not as you say. So you can tell them they're beautiful a million times, but actually if you're not encompassing that, if you're not giving them a living example of what that looks like, they actually don't always know how to really believe that about themselves. So I just made a conscious effort, actually, no, this is, I have to make a real change. I have to do something about the way I feel about myself. And that was probably the catalyst for me to really take the reins on feeling more confident in the skin that I'm in, and the size that I was. And now I'm like 5 billion times bigger. And I'm actually probably the happiest and most content that I've ever been.
Obviously, that is very, there's two massive things there, isn't there? It's the kind of diet culture and what you're possibly passing on to the next generation. But in terms of your own body and how you saw it change after having children, how did you see your body change after you had kids?
Well, for one, I didn't understand that once the baby came out, why you still had a big belly. Like, what was that all about? Like, I just assumed, like, the baby came out and then your belly just goes back down, right? Like, that's because that's what makes your belly, is the baby. So that was really weird. I remember being like 3-4, even a few weeks postpartum, and being like, no, really, what's going on here? This doesn't seem right. So managing just the expectations around what bodies actually do when you have a baby is probably one of the biggest things. But yeah, I was so surprised, I think, about how much it changed. Like, you know it does, but actually you don't know, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You really haven't got a clue of how much your body does. And when I really started to look into how much your body does when you have a baby, I was like both kind of horrified and just so in awe of how incredible, you know, our body changes. And then when I kind of got really into that and considered it this incredible miracle and really got into the depth of how much it changes, I suddenly was like, how can I be angry at the fact that my body's changed when it's done something so incredibly insane, like, and so wonderful? I can't be mad at it. That seems like, just seems so sad to be mad when it's done something so wonderful. And so that was a real turning point, is yes, it's changed, and it changed a lot. Everything went south. Way south. And I breastfed for like 18 months, and it just, everything was like different. But actually just, it was beautiful to really embrace those differences and really accept the fact that my body has done something so wonderful. It will change, of course it will. We wouldn't expect anything else to change in our life if it was going from, you know, I don't know, changing into something great or blooming. It has to change. There has to be something that looks different or feels different. And so I just kind of embrace that. And that's definitely helped, I think, accept the fact that my body has changed. But, you know, for some very incredible reasons.
I think for a lot of women, though, they can be like, yeah, my body's done something incredible and I'm so grateful for what it has done. Doesn't mean that I love it in its current state. How did you get to that point where you can appreciate it? And I think a lot of women, most women would appreciate it for what it's done. Doesn't mean that I have to love the new package that it's in, or they're struggling to love the new package that it's in. How did you kind of get those two things to marry up?
So the first thing is not put the pressure on to try and love yourself automatically or overnight. That in itself is an additional pressure that just creates a cycle of frustration and disappointment and annoyance with yourself, because you can't understand why you can't just love it like everybody else is perceiving to love it. Why can't I just get this right? And so that in itself, just letting go of that expectation of yourself to just look in the mirror and go, yeah, this is great, straight away, not gonna happen. Like, let's just be realistic. This has taken me years. And that's not to put anyone off, you know, the fact that it's a hard slog to get to here, because it's I can't even explain how worth it is, but it's not something that happens overnight. The other thing I think is about accepting this is where you're at. So you almost have to, and it's hard, and you're allowed to grieve the body you had before. I don't think we allow people to have that process. Like, you're allowed to be upset about change. That's totally okay. And it is, I think, automatic when people just want to say to you, oh, but you look great, and you want to like go with that and be like, yeah, yeah, but you just don't feel that way. And I think just allowing yourself to feel those feelings is totally okay. But the best thing, and I think the biggest thing, is actually believing that you can change your mind about how you feel about your body one day. There's no point trying if you've already kind of set yourself up to fail. If you think, oh, I'll try it, but it's not going to work. Well, that could be applied to anything in life. If you really, truly don't think you can change, then you won't, because it's a choice that you make. And that's not a fault of anyone's. That's just, it's a choice that you have to make. So if you start thinking, I'll try, but I doubt I'm ever going to love these stretch marks, then the answer is no, you probably won't. So you have to actually accept the fact that change is possible, and learning to love the body you're in is possible. You don't have to do it straight away. You just have to believe that it's possible for you to even start. And that's really key, especially if you're in the midst of, I don't feel good right now, I'm not going to love it at all. If you're at that really beginning part of the journey, just accept that potentially in one day you will feel differently. And that's kind of the start, I guess.
Is love quite a strong word? I think for me personally, like I've reached a place where I've kind of body neutrality / body acceptance is where I'm at. And that is a really happy place for me. And I would say I have to keep reminding myself that the body I had before I had babies wasn't one I was happy in either. So it's sort of like, what are you reaching for? Like you were never like, bam, look at me, I'm cracking head to toe. So I reached a place where I was just like, how about you just sit happy in the place that you are? And that doesn't mean that I go, oh my God, look at my thighs, I love them so much, everyone love my thighs. It's just a sort of like, yeah, this is me, like everything about me is me, and I'm just accepting of it. And that's not me saying I'm given up. That's just me being like, I've accepted it, and I'm neutral about it, and I am confident. But love, I think a lot of women hear that word of like, love your body, and just be like, I don't think I'll ever reach that, and therefore what am I striving for?
I think it's managing your expectations. I think the place that you're in is still a very beautiful place to be. And one of the things that you have to do is really consider the importance of what you look like. And that was one of the things that I had to do. I had to stop, to some degree, stop caring. And that doesn't mean I don't care about my body and what I feed my body or do with my body. But actually, I just had to stop caring about what it, like, why was it so important to me? Did, you know, having a flat stomach and perky boobs, which I don't actually think I've ever had in my life, to be fair, did it define the kind of friend that I was? Did it define the mother that I was, the wife that I was, the partner that I was, the caring person? Did it define how good I was at my career? No, it didn't. It didn't have an effect on any of those things. So why was I so obsessed with it? Why did I care so much about something that actually didn't have an effect on any of those things? And then I started looking at the goals that I wanted to like achieve, or things that I wanted to do in my life. And I was so, for years, thought, oh, I'll lose weight, that's a goal of mine. But it wasn't. It was what I thought I needed to do to have the confidence to achieve all the other things that I wanted to do. And I didn't need to do any of those things. In fact, I've far surpassed the things that I thought I would achieve just by accepting the fact that I am who I am and focusing on them rather than focusing my energy and time on trying to change my body or make it smaller. So I think sometimes if you can't strive for love and you think that is really far-fetched, and it is for a lot of people, then actually just break it down. Just take that side of it away and just think, does it actually define who I am as a person? And I don't think I've ever come across anyone who says, yes, absolutely. What I look like and what, you know, how many stretch marks I have absolutely defines how much money I can earn, or it doesn't. It really doesn't. And when you take away the aesthetic and really just focus on who you are, it opens up a whole world of opportunities and things that you feel and think about yourself. And so I stopped for a long time worrying about or caring about what I looked like and just focused on who I was. And so then the love for my body came much later, when I realized that I actually just loved me, because I loved me as a person regardless of the size or the shape or anything like that. So the love of it kind of came a bit later. I just disconnected the obsession with my body and what I look like and the aesthetic, and actually just, who is Jess? What does Jess stand for? What does she believe? Who is she as a person? What does she love doing? And then I fell in love with that person. And then the aesthetic kind of just came with it.
Do you think people are allowed to say, and is it okay for people to say, I do want to change how I look? You know, I do, it could be anything. I don't want to focus on weight because I think that's just a burden that women carry too much of. But, I do want to, I don't know, have a boob lift. I do want to do this. I do want to get bigger muscles or, you know, do you think women are allowed to say this at the moment? Is that an accepted thing for people to do?
I wouldn't be true to my faith and my belief of empowering women to do and say what they want as they please if I didn't think it was okay for them to say it. And I don't think, I've never called myself a feminist. I don't know why. I think I need to learn more about it. But I truly don't believe if we're going to silence or police what other women are saying, are we real women? And so just because someone says something that maybe doesn't sit right with me, or you know, I think, oh no, but you could, or that doesn't mean she hasn't got the right to say it and to feel it, because her feelings about her body and herself and her life are so valid. So it would be wrong for me to say, and I get inboxes all the time of people saying, do you think you can be body confident and lose weight? Do you think you could be this and still want this? Do you think, and I'm like, but that's up to you. That's not for me to decide. It might not be the choice that I make for myself. But ultimately what I want is for women to feel empowered, to feel confident, to feel strong. Our journeys of getting there are going to be very different. My biggest thing though is why do you feel the importance to change it, and will it really have the impact that you want it to have? Is there something bigger going on? And not to go back to weight, but weight was my thing. When I looked at why I wanted to lose weight, it wasn't actually the goal. It just wasn't. It was all these other things I thought I would get if I lost it, and I could get them without losing it. So my question to someone who maybe says, you know, I do want, you know, a boob job, gosh, I wanted one of those for years. Okay, great. Why? What's the impact that's going to have on you? Well, I want to, I don't know, have the confidence to do this. Well, could you really find the confidence to do that without doing that? Could you not? That's a decision up to you, but it's just making sure that you've had that, I guess, in-depth thought process about it, and making sure you're making the decisions for the right reasons and not purely based on the aesthetic. But then even then, it's up to you. Do you know what I mean? I feel like we shouldn't police each other so much into, you should do it this way, you should love your body exactly as it is. Yes, I do believe that, but it's everyone's prerogative and right to feel how they feel.
And that, the culture of judgment, do you think, I know a lot of it comes from ourselves, but do you think women as mothers, is there still external judgment, external pressure that women should look a certain way after they've had kids?
Yeah, we should look like we haven't had them. That's like, that's essentially what the society tells us. Have them all,
you
but
think,
don't look
you think
like
still?
You do. Oh my gosh, absolutely. I think even without meaning it. So when I started to really look at my thoughts about my own body, projection and judgment is a massive thing. And ultimately, any judgment you have on someone else is going to be a projection of something you're feeling or thinking about yourself. Whether you want to admit that or not, that's just a reality. Some people are really uncomfortable with that and they'll get defensive. And I was one of those people until I really actually had to dig deep and go, okay, this really is about me. And one of the things I used to do, if I saw a friend who just had a baby, I immediately would be like, oh my God, you look amazing. Oh my gosh, you've lost all the baby weight. My whole focus was always about what we look like. And we do it to each other. We use, you look great after you've had a baby, as this huge compliment. And we focus so much on what we all look like. And actually, the only way we're going to break that down is if we stop doing that. Like, the reality is, I didn't look great after I had a baby. Like, I didn't at all. And I know everyone was just trying to make me feel better. And that's really nice. But actually, I didn't. And the focus that I had so much, not just on myself, but on other people. And so until we all just drop the fact that it's a thing and just focus on all the other parts of motherhood or parenting, it's not going to stop being a thing. Because we will constantly talk about it and constantly project it onto each other until we've dealt with it ourselves.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you think social media then is a good place for that or a bad place?
A bit both. I love it. I've got such a love-hate relationship with it. I absolutely adore it. It's one of the, it's an amazing platform. It's kind of created the space that I've got. It's become part of my career, so I can't not love it. But in the same breath, it creates this, I guess, a bit of a hole of anonymity where people feel they can say what they want to say, however they want to say it. They say things that maybe they wouldn't in normal circumstances, which again has a good and a bad thing. It's great because people then don't feel so alone because they do get to voice things they wouldn't necessarily say publicly. But the downside to that is not always is that stuff positive. And I think it does a bit of both. My biggest, I don't want to say advice, but my biggest thing about social media is it's how we use it as an individual. I, for a long time, blamed everyone. Oh, she's putting out fake content. She's editing the pictures. Well, they've just put up a picture. You know, when someone puts up a picture when they've just had a baby and don't look like they've had a baby. And I'm like, well, that's just... But then I was body shaming her too. It still was a thing. And so I was so obsessed with what everyone else was putting out there. But actually, I didn't deal with what it meant for me. Why was I triggered by this? Why was I upset about this? Why was I uncomfortable about this? Actually taking accountability for how I manage it, what I consume, what I allow myself to consume and how I feel about it is about me and nobody else. So I think social media is one of those beasts, isn't it? It's there, but it's actually more about how you use it as an individual and taking accountability for that, because you're the only person you can control. So we can get really frustrated about what's put out there, but actually we don't have to consume it. We don't have to look at it. And if we do, we can deal with why we do. And now I can look at someone posting a picture who's just had a baby, you know, who's got a flat stomach and perky boobs and is probably in a bikini, and I think, good for her. She looks great. Wow. Amazing. And I do that from a real genuine place. I don't do that from a, well, now she's just making the rest of us feel bad. I don't do it from that place anymore because I've dealt with the issues that I've had with myself. So I think a lot of it is about the individual taking accountability for how they feel and managing that and working through that, so that actually no matter what you see or consume doesn't have maybe a negative effect on you.
Yeah, I guess you have to, you know, you are the curator of your own feed, aren't you? Because when I had my first kid and my body changed and I assumed that as soon as I popped a kid out, I'd be exercising and doing this and doing that and eating that and eating that. And it wasn't my reality. And that wasn't where I found joy. And therefore, I had to remove those people off my social media feed because for me, it was just people doing stuff that I thought I should be doing and wasn't. And I felt guilty. And that was nothing, you know, that, no shame on them at all. But I just found it massively triggering for me. So I just purged anything like that out of my feed. It wasn't making me feel good. And I just looked, I sought out women who reflected an image of motherhood that I found myself in. And it was a comfort for me. But I think that wasn't an image of motherhood that I saw represented in the media particularly. Unless it was, you know, slightly awful media being like, oh, look at these women. Oh, look, they haven't done this. They haven't done that. But that was the motherhood that I was found myself in. And actually, it was a happy motherhood. There was no shame in that motherhood. But that's what I think social media is great at, is finding your people.
Yeah.
And they are there.
Yeah, they are. You've just got to look. And that can be hard because you've got to troll through quite a lot to find the people that you can relate to. But also I've been having conversations recently is that actually it's nice to actually not always have belated. I get a real well-rounded idea of what motherhood looks like, because part of the problem and what causes us to then still be so judgmental is when we're just surrounded by people who we can relate to, that's our version of motherhood. So when it's different, yeah, and when somebody else does something differently, even our own selves can be quite judgmental about that. Well, that's not how we would do, that's not, and we do that without even thinking, because all we're surrounded by is our version of what motherhood looks like. And like you said, it's a comfort and it's a safe place to be, and we want to feel safe, we want to feel relatable and comforted that we're not the only ones. But what I do now is I follow such a diverse amount of people whose motherhood journeys all look very different, and some I can relate to and some I can't. But actually that's so nice, because now I have such a wider view of what motherhood looks like. So when something happens that's very different or I don't necessarily understand it, rather than coming from a judgmental place, I'm like, oh, okay. I might not agree with it and that's fine, but I'm like, cool, because I see it. So I have this really beautiful picture of a range of motherhood journeys, not just ones that I can relate to. I still do, though, remove ones that make me feel bad, or that make me feel bad at myself. I think that's very, very important. I'm not saying follow people just to get a different idea if it makes you feel rubbish. That's not the point. But if there are people that maybe you don't necessarily relate to, but still show this, you know, beautiful version of motherhood that we can view and just get a more rounded idea of how different it can be for everyone, then that's a beautiful thing. And you get to appreciate it so much more.
It's funny you should say that, because when I was researching for this podcast, I was just having a look around at articles online, and I won't say the name of it, but it was a really prominent website, and they said, oh, here's seven women giving an honest account of their postpartum bodies. And it was seven big influencers, I think all American, to be fair. I didn't know any of them, but they were all white, all able-bodied women. And I just thought, one, I'm astonished that passes past any editor's desk, and that was passed. But, you know, I just couldn't believe, and they were all no bigger than a size 10. And I thought, how is that representative of motherhood on any level? And I thought, if I was a new mum, it failed on so many accounts. And I think that's what social media is good for, is finding people who aren't,
and having the diversity that we deserve to see and have people be represented. I follow so many different mums. I follow disabled mums, I follow able-bodied mums with disabled children, I follow black mums, gay mums, straight mums, Jewish mums, Muslim mums. Like, literally, I have such a huge spectrum. And again, like, my family are Christian. I can't necessarily relate to a Muslim mum, but I can, because we're both mums and we're still going on this parenting journey. And it's so beautiful to see and experience other people, other cultures, other examples of what motherhood can look like for other people. And part of the problem about what it looks like, especially in the online parenting space, is it looks very middle class, very white, very able-bodied, very straight. That's just what it looks like. And so I get so excited when someone comes and shakes that up. And it's so nice to see fat mums, skinny mums, slim mums, tall mums, short mums. It doesn't matter. There doesn't just have to be diversity in, you know, race or religion, but actually in body type, in abilities. There's so many things that we need to see. And like, I remember when I got pregnant for the third time and loads of women were messaging me going, I'm plus size, I'm pregnant, and I can't see many plus size pregnant mums or plus size maternity clothes, all sorts of things. And I just thought, oh, but there's loads of women, and I'd share loads of different pages. And then I realised just how difficult it is to sometimes find a different version of motherhood, especially in a physical sense of what a mum should look like, or what pregnancy and postpartum looks like for different bodies. But it is out there. Like you said, it is out there. It's just a little bit of a frustrating slog to find it, because it's not always in the mainstream, or, you know, it's not always the people with millions of followers. But there are beautiful communities online of all different mothers just sharing their journeys and their experiences and their bodies. They're, you know, giving you examples of what that looks like for them.
If we were to circle back to the question that was pulled out, which was not loving the body that you find yourself in once you've had your child, to that woman who stood in front of the mirror looking at a body she doesn't recognise, what are the first practical steps you think they can take to start to change their attitude towards themselves?
Get comfortable. And what I mean by that is stop trying to squeeze into your tiny jeans. buy a bigger pair, get comfortable. Get comfortable with big pants, get comfortable with clothes that fit. Part of the problem we have sometimes is you look at that pair of jeans, you try and get them on, and then you feel awful when you can't, or you do squeeze into them and then you're just physically uncomfortable. And sometimes a real practical thing is just wear something that feels nice. And that sounds so silly almost and a bit like childish, but it's true. Sometimes just wearing something that's comfortable can just make you feel better in a physical sense. You stand up better, you feel nicer. And it's not always easy. You know, I lived in leggings and nursing bras for like forever. So I just bought nicer versions of those that felt good. That's just a really practical thing to do. And the other thing is let go of the expectation that you're going to love it straight away, because it's not going to happen. But believe it's possible. Believe that change can happen to the mindset and to the way that you feel about yourself. The other thing are affirmations, and I know this gets thrown around so much and it can be a bit eye-rolly because people are like, yeah, all right, whatever. But I kid you not, I've got an affirmation that says I am beautiful on my mirror, and it's been there for, I don't know, the best part of 6 years. And it's just a little postcard stuck in the corner, and I see it every time I look in the mirror to get ready. Sometimes I don't even notice it's there because it's been there so long. But I look at it, and it's not just affirmations about the aesthetic. Tell yourself every day, I'm a really good mum. I've done a good job today. I'm a really good wife, I'm a really good friend, I'm caring. Think of other things that define who you are, so that actually when you start to love just who you are, then the physical can come a bit later. It's not a rush. It's all good and well to put a bikini on and run to the beach and feel body confident, but if you still don't love yourself as who you are, then actually it's not worth it. It's not what you need. So that's probably one of the better things. And then surround yourself with people that make you feel good, both in real life and online. So curate your feed, make it a safe space for you. Diversify it, have a look at all different bodies. You don't have to be plus size to follow loads of plus size women. Like I follow some fitness women, which sounds, people are like, oh, that's crazy. But they've got great bodies too. But I don't just think they're the only people who have great bodies. I think mine's great at a size 18 too, and that's the beauty of it. So diversify your feed, and if you've got anyone, both again online or offline, that isn't making you feel good or constantly makes remarks about your physical attributes, just cut them off. Put them in the bin. Like, just don't engage in those conversations. It might be a family member who's constantly, have you not lost the baby weight, or all these things. They can be things that really bug you. Don't engage in conversations with them. They're not entitled to your time and space. And actually being comfortable enough to put boundaries in place to say, I'm not having a conversation about my weight, I'm not talking about that, let's just talk about the baby, or actually how I'm feeling, or if I've eaten today. Those are the people that you want to surround yourself, especially when you've just had a baby. And my biggest thing, and I've always said this, is I've got a lot of biggest things, haven't I? I've probably said that about 5 times. But one of the things I always say is, when you do have visitors, if someone can come to your house and make their own cup of tea, then they are someone you need to keep close. And if someone can come to your house and make their own cup of tea, then they're probably someone who isn't going to, you know, comment on your weight or say anything like that. But if you've got someone who's going to come over and can't make their own cup of tea and you've got to host, then they are not the people that you need in your immediate circle after you've had a baby. And it's not to say you won't ever talk to them again, but they're just not the people that you need to nourish you and comfort you and support you and encourage you. And I know that sounds really far-fetched from loving your body, but actually all of those things have an impact on how you feel. And if you don't feel good, then you're not going to, trying to love your body is going to just seem a million miles away. So actually it's really important to surround yourself with people who will make you the cup of tea, because actually when you just sit down and have a moment to breathe, it all seems a bit more possible, and it doesn't feel as impossible as it would have beforehand.
Jess, thanks so much. Some really great advice there. Lots to think about and some really good practices that I think lots of women will be able to use in their journeys moving forward. That's got me in a great mindset. Goodbye, everyone. And I look forward to seeing you back here next week.
Thank you. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.